The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the Lick Your Wounds Podcast. After the Cats go down again, lost four of their last five, we are broadcasting this edition of the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Thanks to Jonas and the team at Kerr's Hire from the Dave Collins studio, which is a fantastic. We had the celebration last week, Kingy, and came in and wasn't. I would love to say that I was here for Dave and you know, being part of it and hearing everybody talk about Dave and then doing the podcast for Dave. That would be a lie. I was here for the lunch that they put on, which was quite extraordinary.
Everything else was just a byproduct.
Yeah, so everything else was just a little bonus, but they did put on a bit of fare.
How are you, Ben?
Last week. Yes, well, I'm good. I'm sort of good, Kingy. I'm getting grumpy in my old age, and I'm getting grumpy with the Cats.
Because?
Well, I've done homework, Tom.
Yeah.
Can you hear it? I've actually done homework.
Now, what's quite funny about this is
that I don't normally do anything.
Well, that too. And you would have been one of the great, the dog ate my homework at school.
Yes.
And you've actually brought your mutt with you.
Yes. Well, I have. I've got
it's bring your animal to work day.
It is. Actually, did you know that? So Apollo is with us here doing this podcast. He doesn't bark, so you won't hear him, but he is just roaming around the Dave Collins studio, which I'm sure Dave will be happy about that anyway. As long as he doesn't lay any lumbers on the over in the corner, because Apollo, you'll be cleaning it up.
You're going to provide some nuggets, hopefully. Well, Apollo's not.
Do you know, on the way down here, because dog's stomachs can get his stomach can be
irritated.
Can be a little volatile. And up until yesterday, everything's stools were reasonably firm, Tom. But today,
and you bring him in here,
just outside a hair salon there in Paco.
Oh dear.
He unloaded something that couldn't be picked up by the bag. So I just had to stare at it and then just leave it there as a big steaming mound. So,
wow.
Well, there was nothing I could do. So I don't know what upset he's coming.
Well, you go into the business and you go and ask for a bucket of water and you just tip it on it.
Well, I didn't think
and
of that.
Try and disperse it.
There was women in there, like getting sort of
coiffed.
Perms done. I don't know what they were doing in there, but they were anyway. They'll hopefully don't slip on the way out because Apollo provided a little bit of a.
Because guess what? I'm guessing there's cameras in that area
possibly.
Too.
I could be.
Might be on Geelong Name and Shame.
I could be on Geelong's Most Wanted. Apollo, it'll be you, won't be me. I'll be blaming it all on Apollo. So anyway, Kingy, I have done homework because I'm getting. I'm sure Cat fans are starting to get a bit frustrated, albeit we're still in an okay position. But lost four of the last five, mm-hmm. And there's been a bit of a theme to the way that they've lost.
And the theme is?
Well, the theme is that they're playing too many people out of position, and they're getting scored against heavily, which I don't think is any fault of the defence. I think it's a fault that the ball is just getting swept away too quickly out of the forward line.
Especially when they turn it over shallow, like in between sort of centre circle and top of the 50.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the numbers. I'm sure Champion Data probably provide them.
And they don't have what you would classify as probably the greatest defensive midfield.
No.
So, and then the defence is completely under pressure because the ball's coming out of mid-miles. Now, it doesn't matter. At this level of footy, if you've got no pressure on the ball, then... you know, your defence, it doesn't matter how good they are, is going to get torched. So I've done some pros and cons, Kingy.
Right. What do you want to go with first?
What would you like me to go with?
Go with the cons.
Right. So the cons, right, there's a few of them, right? And we've spoken about a few of them, you know, across the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast, across the season. But I'd love to get your feedback on this into next week. Hopefully the Cats get a win this week, but it'll still be fresh because we will have... You know, we will have gone through some ups and downs across the last 6 weeks, even if they were to beat GWS, which hopefully they can. So I think they've reached a critical mass of playing too many blokes out of position.
Yep.
Sam Bicconi in the ruck?
I don't think that's out of position.
It is. He's not a ruckman.
See, I actually think he's played some very good footy in the ruck.
He's played okay in the ruck. I'm not saying that he hasn't played well.
I think he at the moment is a better option than Edwards in the ruck.
In the actual ruck, but what the byproduct that is that Connor O'Sullivan has to play on the best tall defender.
That's okay.
No, but Connor O'Sullivan will be even better if he's not. He'd be better if he was one cog down.
Okay, so move Jack Henry back.
Yeah, well, that's an option. But if you've got a really tall player, Jack Henry perhaps isn't suited to him. So this week they might get away with it because they've got 1,000 injuries, GWS. So, but Deconing, okay, I'll put it this way. Do you think Sam Deconing would be, if he plays the rest of his career in the ruck, will just be an okay to average type player?
No, I think he'll be better than that.
Do you think he would be? His career would be to have more impact in games playing in defence?
I think he'll have more impact playing in defence, but there I still go. Think he'd have a very good career.
You've answered your question.
Playing as a, but I still think he could have a very good career as a ruck. There's nothing to say he can't be a key defender in a ruck.
I don't think. I don't know that you can. Tell me one absolute superstar defender who played in the ruck. You can't. There's not one.
Well,
I can just say Fletcher, Scarlett, Rance, Harris Andrews. They don't play in the ruck.
No.
But
they're not the same height either.
Well, Harris Andrews would be close. I mean, it's all relative, though. I mean,
and Harris Andrews is not the athlete.
Dustin Fletcher would have been 198.
Yeah, but this Sam Deconing's an athlete. He's a completely different athlete to those guys.
He's not really built for the ruck. He's playing. I'm not saying he's playing poorly. That's not my argument.
No, no. You're just saying he's out of position.
The byproduct of him being out of position is other people then have to filter in defence. And you've got a kid who's playing well, don't get me wrong, O'Sullivan's playing well, but he could be the best intercept player in the competition in 2 years' time. Would that be fast-tracked by having Deconing playing with him? Yes.
I won't argue with that.
Yeah,
no.
So I think that Deconing is playing. And you've got Mitch Edwards, who's learning, so we need to play him. Fine, there's going to be growing pains. Is he going to struggle at times? Yes. Is that fine? Yes. Is he going to build? Hopefully, what we've seen, he's got a lot to work with. There's a lot of traits you love about Mitch Edwards. You've got Mark Blitzarves, who can't get a kick.
Yeah.
Playing on the wing. He cannot get a kick. He cannot touch the ball.
Okay, so does Blitzarves go back and become...
Well,
do Blitzarves and Jack Henry go back and you can play Deconing as a ruck?
Well, possibly. Possibly in the short term. In the long term, I would love to see Deconing play ruck. In the short term, if they want to put Blitzarves in defence, I'd be much happier in that because he's doing three parts of F-all playing on the wing.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other one is Tanner Bruin at halfback. We've spoken about 1,000 times. He's out of position.
Okay. He's a midfielder.
Yeah, he's a midfielder. He's drafted as a midfielder, got to play midfield. Why is he playing in halfback? I've no idea. We've spoken about 1,000 times. Jack Henry, your forward line is stacked.
Why are you taking this out on the table, by the way?
Because it's shitting me to tears. I'm no brain surgeon or a rocket scientist. But Jack Henry, why you've got 1,000 blokes who want to mark the ball up forward and you add another one. I can't understand
that. That I can't fathom. No. I mean, you've got Grime Myers running around.
Blitzarves on the wing, we've spoken about that one. Tommy Atkins playing roles at halfback? No. Grime Myers plays in the twos because he's injured. We had the most. It was almost embarrassing the response James Raleigh gave.
The coach provided a better one yesterday.
That he's. Well, I mean, I've heard that they don't think he's moving that well and he's not playing his role and they've changed his role. Why would you change a role from a bloke who was... If Geelong are going...
But with a partially torn ACL, can he play the role he would traditionally play?
What's his role? He gets the ball, he links up, he's good by foot.
But can he do it as well if he's moving with a partially torn
ACL?
Well,
he can't. He's got to be better than what we've got. Because one of the other problems Geelong have, in one of my cons, is they're linking from forward into the...
Oh, it's terrible.
From midfield into the forward line. He's horrific.
Yeah.
Who's their best player at that?
Myers.
Yeah. He's not even playing.
And I tell you who the other bloke, Tanner Bruin would actually be good at it too.
Yes, but he's playing at half back. I don't understand it. Now, I'm going to, I put up with for a few weeks people tooting their horns about O'Sheen Mullen and how great he was and I was wrong. O'Sheen Mullen is not a free roaming midfielder.
No, he's a tagger.
And if he's not tagging, he is useless. Useless. We talk about his speed. Name me once in that game last week where you thought, geez, he's quick.
He didn't get away from
you. He doesn't read the game. He cannot read the game to use his speed. Yeah. The only way he plays well is if somebody else reads the game for him, i.e. tags.
Yep.
If you're asking him to go in there and get it 20 times and 6 clearances, you're absolutely kidding yourself. He gets lost. I'm not saying he doesn't have a role. I wouldn't mind him even playing as a small defender on the quickest... Because that's probably where we have a deficiency as well.
Or he could have played on a Cameron last week.
He could have played on a Cameron. I don't mind him going to Lockie
Hill. Although Cameron, after kicking the first two goals...
was quiet.
Yep.
Yeah. But they're the sorts of plays he could play on, or he could play in the midfield. I'm happy for him to be a clamp player. Mm. whether it's midfield or forward. But the instant you ask him in the midfield, and that's been shown up in the last 3 weeks, the instant you ask him to do anything other than run around with a bloke, he's in witness protection. Yeah, you don't even know he's out there.
Match awareness is...
He's miles
he's
off
still,
it.
He's still working on it, yeah.
Yeah, so at this stage, if Geelong are going to win the flag, I know there's got to be some growing pains, but that has to be maybe across the summer. But he just isn't... Geelong don't have a midfield at the moment that can carry a bloke who's giving you nothing when asked to be an offensive midfielder. Yeah. I just don't see it. The other one, Jack Martin. His goal tally looks okay. I mean, he ends up in protective custody. He gets actually whisked away off the ground for three quarters, and then they bring you back out and think, oh, there's Jack Martin. He just has no capacity to stay in the game for any periods of time. And can he take a mark? Yes. Can he kick your goal? Yes.
Is it because of the position he's playing?
No, he's old, he's too old to play anywhere other than, and he looks old and slow at times. And it's shown up when he tries to go up the ground, when he can't get a kick and he tries to move up the ground. There was an incident last week early in the game where he went to ground. He didn't need to, but he did. That's an old man syndrome. Yeah. He's lost. He was probably never the quickest player. Silky skilled. Like I said, can he kick you a goal and do something? You go, wow, yes. He doesn't. He can't stay in the game.
So the question you've got to ask yourself is, if Geelong want to win a premiership, can they win it without Jack Martin?
Yes.
Yep.
100%. Do they need Myers back in there? I would have thought. Because we just have no... And as good as Holmes and Smith are, they're very predictable.
Is Holmes off halfback a better option?
Yeah, we've said that 1,000 times. I can understand why that happens. I don't think our midfield is good enough for it to happen, but to overcome that, not have him in the midfield. But I can understand why he would be playing there. So he can give you some drive. We've said all that 1,000 times.
Okay, here's one. If Myers comes back and he spends a bit of time in the midfield, plus playing his link-up role, and you move Bruin into the midfield and you've got all of a sudden Bruin, Myers, Smith, Atkins.
Sounding better already.
Around the footy, yeah. With Holmes coming off half-back.
Yeah, and Mullen tagging or Mullen playing in defence
on a
gun smaller forward.
So the question people listening to this will be, you and I we're fans. Our footy credentials are, other than calling a lot of footy, just the way we see the game.
Yeah.
How we'd like the game to be played.
We also, and fans will be the same, but we also watch Geelong quite closely.
Yeah, we do.
So we're not watching every fourth week.
So the question is, there must be method in quotation marks, the madness at the moment for what they're doing. Chris Scott must have a grander plan in place. Because he's not, what you're saying, I'm sure Chris Scott is well aware of.
If I said all that, he'd say it was rubbish, I reckon.
Publicly, probably not privately.
I just think you reach a critical mass of being versatile.
Can you be too versatile? Or attempting to be.
They're doing.
Yeah.
Now, his grand plan, he needs to get the grand plan moving along a little bit because Geelong are in danger of finishing 7th or 8th.
Yeah, and playing out of a wild card.
Yeah, they've got a huge game this weekend. We said last weekend was a huge game.
And then still to come, St Kilda down here won't be...
Maybe if they're going to do any damage in the finals, they're beating St Kilda at home.
Melbourne at the G.
That's a tough game, but you'd like to Melbourne. Yeah, that is a tough game, but Geelong's best you'd hope is good enough to beat Melbourne.
Collingwood at the G.
Yeah, they should be beating Collingwood. I'm not having Collingwood.
Right, North Melbourne.
They make you beat them though, Collingwood.
Beat Essendon here.
You beat Richmond.
But North Melbourne at Marvel.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. North has been shown to be improving against better teams.
It'll come down. So that's round 23. That'll come down to where North is at. Is North still alive or are they done? And if they're done, well, maybe the flag.
Is that the last game, is it?
Second last. Yeah.
So the other thing that I've got is that...
The other con,
yeah. We've got too many with the freak and fly points and not enough baggage controllers on the ground level. We don't have enough blokes getting the luggage off the plane. We've got too many who want to fly. I asked Patrick Dangerfield about it, and it'll probably be difficult when you're playing. And he didn't say yes, but he sort of acknowledged that if you're seeing that up there, then perhaps that's happening.
Yeah.
I just don't see, as it stands right now, I don't see the pressure forward there. That's going to be an issue. We just don't have one.
Yeah. Because Brad Close was.
Brad Close was, but he couldn't touch the footy. Yeah. At some point, you're not touching
the footy. Well, that's the other thing with Mullen. You've still got to be able to and probably more enclosures. You know, it's all good to provide pressure, but if you're not touching the inside forward 50, you're playing a forward down.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, exactly. And he and close isn't your frenetic pressure player, though, is he? He's quite a, I don't know how I'd describe him. He's a bit of a link player. I think he's got a pretty good tank. He can get up the ground. He can help. He's not a dangerous in the inside forward 50
but
type.
But the pressure he provides for the opposition coming out is very good.
He's
always, I always reckon he's read the angles very well of where teams are trying to come out. He seems to know where to stand.
Yeah.
If clubs are trying to switch the footy, he seems to know where to be.
They've given him enough opportunities, and he unfortunately hasn't been able to take them across the last 18 months. So you'd have to think that he's a possible trade bait.
He's contracted, but yeah, the door would probably be open.
I would have thought.
Others will ask the question.
Yeah, we just don't have. I mean, with no Stengel, I mean, I think he's done.
So he wasn't even mentioned. I've been going to Chris Scott's media conferences for 16 years.
I listened to the one during the week.
Yeah,
it's a word salad, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and you know how he's going.
What sort of salad do you think it is? It's one of those sort of like, it's one of those salads that, you know, when you, it's got 1,000 different colours in it, and you're not 100% sure what's in it, so you stay away from it.
Right.
Have you ever had one of those?
No, like an old garden salad.
What about a potato salad?
I like a pasta salad.
Yeah, I like a pasta salad, potato salad. There's always a salad that someone brings, it's a bit left of center. Yeah. I like their lentils and stuff.
Yeah.
And you look at it and think, I'm not 100% sure what's in that. So
my aunt, I'll stick away sorry, from well, aunt by marriage, every Christmas day brings a shell pasta salad, but puts raisins or sultanas in it.
Yeah.
Nah.
Have you ever had a quiet word?
You're trying to put fruit. Now, people say, yes, tomato is a fruit, but that's an accepted salad accessory.
Have you ever
But if you're putting that sort of fruit into it, you wonder why only a quarter of it gets eaten and three quarters gets the Tijuana.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of sultanas in a salad.
Arnie Rain, I hope you're listening. I know you're not, but...
Have you ever got gassed at the Christmas table and then maybe got one of the raisins out of the salad and got it in there and you fling it and just launched it straight at Arnie Rain and hit her straight in the bonds?
That's happened.
Yes, I'm sure.
That's happening this summer.
So anyway, so what are you going to say about Chris Scott? Because it was an absolute word salad.
Divorce papers. But you know, for the length of time I've been going there, I know how he's going to answer a question.
Yeah.
So your phrasing's got to be on point. He's gobbled up so many... fresh-faced or non-regular journos with answers because you just know how he's going to answer stuff, you know. And so if I'd have asked about Tyson Stengel, his answer would have been, and this is a guess, no, this is an educated guess, we're not providing a running commentary.
Yeah. Well, he did last week.
Yeah.
He said as much as he wanted to last week. And what have you heard anything? Is Tyson Stengel doing anything?
I didn't watch training on Monday.
Do you think Geelong are getting the contract out and looking ways to move on from Tyson Stengel?
Wouldn't be shocked if they are. Yeah, well, I don't know that for certain, but I wouldn't.
I think that's the word.
Yeah.
And time's come. Like, you know, you can't pay a bloke $700,000 a year not to turn up.
Correct.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. Is that your last con?
No, the last one was... and this is another thing on the forward line, is that our scores against, we've become very easy to score against.
Yes.
And I'm not putting blame to that on the defenders. I think there's just not enough pressure on the ball coming out. And the other thing too is that because of the way we're entering forward 50, which is either sometimes a shallow entry or it is Smith and Holmes just kick long bombs to hit and hope.
Yeah.
If that doesn't come off, and we've got four blokes flying for a ground level. It's out the other side quicker than you can say potato salad.
Here's tonight's weather forecast. Yeah,
and inside our forward 50, defensive 50, and then we're done.
Yep.
So the problems magnify, and I think it's a lot of the problems centre around the mix of the forward line, which in fairness isn't going to change hugely because we don't have that small forward.
Mm.
The way we deliver the ball inside forward 50, Cameron's obviously struggling. Shannon Neal's found it a little bit tougher, and they're trying to play blokes there who just...
And when you are just bombing it inside forward 50, and Shannon Neal is your legitimately only decent marking target, he's going to attract all the attention.
Well, but the good defences, that's what they want.
Yeah,
they eat that up.
Yeah.
If you're just going to bomb it high, that's the only frustration I have at times with Smith and Holmes, because they're very good players, don't get me wrong, is that they're very predictable and they lack a lot of creativity in the way that they deliver the ball forward. And I'm going to reference players like Dusty Martin, Gary Ablett, Scott Pendlebury, Nick Dacos.
Yes, because Holmes is never going to be an elite kick.
No, he's not a bad kick, but he doesn't have any ability. Well, I don't want to say any ability. He doesn't have a great ability to mix things up. Yeah. He's very predictable.
The skipper was good at doing that. The 14.
It was a fantastic kick.
Yeah.
Short kick.
Yep. He was fantastic at putting it into space. He would basically put it there. You would be, I'm pointing at one TV in the Dave Collins studio, and you're at the other TV. He'd kick it to the TV you're not at, and he'd say, "You work your ass off and get there."
Yeah.
Because I'm going to put it to your advantage.
He could also weight kicks, and his skill level was underrated in the terms of the way he played.
Yeah.
He didn't look silky.
No.
But he was very skilled, but he made good decisions.
He was effective.
He made good decisions. And Smith and Holmes get a lot of the ball, but they do tend to more often than not just bang it high inside forward 50 and hope for the best. And the better defences, Adelaide, Fremantle, Brisbane, we've seen in the last few weeks, that's what they want. That's what they want you to do.
The thing is, though, you can take, and this will be probably in your pros, Benny, is that teams still don't block, as much as there were a heavy score and Geelong got, 43 points down. Nobody ever puts Geelong.
No.
Other than Gold Coast in round one.
Which is, that was an anomaly.
Yes. Nobody really.
Can you spell it?
Yeah, A-N-O-M-A-L-Y.
Yeah,
it's
that's
a very
good,
simple
good
one.
Working. Not really.
Anomaly.
Oh, yeah. Struggling.
It's easier to spell than it is to say.
Can you?
No. Pros, Ben, please.
So the pros. There might be some other cons there that I'm missing. So if there's anyone, I'm sure there are, but they're the ones that just sort of keep me up late at night. The pros.
Cons, Ben Cassinelli, 20s in radio.
The pros, pros. We've got 7 weeks to work it out.
Yes.
There's still 7 games remaining. And so that's plenty of time to get a mix right
and
get it right.
But if you I think this is a year where I think it's going to get harder to come out of anything other than a qualifying final and win a flag.
Yeah. So Geelong need to, I reckon Geelong need to clean house from here. Go 7-0.
They have to. Yeah.
Which is not
but they
the
still
range.
Need results to go their way.
Yeah, they do. They do. But if they go 7-0, you'd have to think they're a pretty good chance of getting top four. Given, not guaranteed, but if at the very least they would go into the finals.
You need some stumbling from Hawthorn.
Yes, you do.
Some stumbling from Adelaide.
They stumbled last week.
That was going there?
Score, 96-8 or something.
I was standing at local footy having a couple of 3.5s, and I was only about 2 in when I looked at the score, and I got, am I gorillas or am I?
I was exactly the same, Kingy. Yeah. I was at the foot at the races working, and I thought there may have been. I had to keep tapping my phone to suggest. I was with the girls. I said, Melbourne are 15 goals up on Hawthorn. She goes, I don't care. So anyway, that was the end of that conversation.
Right.
The other one you mentioned before, the run home is pretty good.
Yep.
To get your act together,
I think they go 5-2.
GWS, North, St Kilda, Essendon, Richmond, Collingwood, Melbourne.
So 5-2 gets them 14-9.
That's not top four though.
No, that's probably fifth or sixth.
I'd like to think they can go 7-0.
Yeah. Okay.
The other,
I reckon by 7 o'clock on Saturday night they'll be going 6-1.
Well. Yeah, we'll get to
Geelong's
that.
Recent record against GWS. And Chris Scott, it doesn't look too far back.
He didn't even know about the record.
No.
No, of course he didn't.
Actually, do you know where I'd probably prefer to be playing them up there than down here, because their record down here is outstanding.
Well, we'll get to that game. But the other thing that the other pro that I had is that in isolation, the games against the Lions and the Crows, Geelong had more inside 50s and more scoring shots.
Yep.
So inside 50 count, they were plus 17 on the Lions. And they also had about 4 or 5 more scoring shots. The Crows.
What did they kick? 14-17?
I think three.
And there were 3 rush behinds or 4 rush behinds?
I think there was 4 rush behinds. So, they
so 27 intentional shots on goal.
Yeah.
To the Lions, kicked 19-9 with how many?
They had 3, so they kicked 19-6.
Yeah. Okay.
And they couldn't miss.
Okay, so basically they were on a par in terms of deliberate shots at goal.
Yeah, but they had a couple more scoring shots. They had 17 more inside 50s. The game against Adelaide, they were plus 2 in inside 50s, and they had 5 more scoring shots.
Yep.
They kicked 10-14 to they were more accurate than the Cats.
Yeah.
So they're getting the ball in there enough.
Yep.
It's the manner in which they're getting it in, which ironically, is probably hurting them. The more they're getting it in there, the quicker it's coming out and creating opportunities going the other way. So that's one of the problems.
So need to be a bit more methodical?
Methodical, a bit less predictable.
Precise.
The other thing, the Cats can score.
Yes.
They've topped 100 points, top 90 points 11 times, and they've topped top 90 points 11 times, and they've topped 109 times.
Yep.
So they can score, and scoring is arguably one of the greatest pressures you can put on the opposition when you're actually able to score. They do have an ability to hit the scoreboard, so which is always good. I think the defence is solid. Like O'Sullivan, Stewart, Humphreys, O'Connor, Guthrie. I'd love to see Sam DeConing play permanently defence, but I think they've got a good defence. They've got a good mix in defence. I wouldn't mind Mullen, as we mentioned, going back and playing in defence if that's the matchup. And the other one that I think is that might hold them in good stead is that they're a pretty fit team.
Yep.
Now that might sound a bit stupid, but all the teams are fit, unless you're Tyson Stengel or Sean Darcy, or Jake Stringer. But the Cats have a lot of elite runners in that team. So I think they've won 8 final quarters this year. They've had 6 losses, and I think they've had 1 draw in terms of scores in the final quarter.
Right.
So they can run out games. Now, that's crucial on bigger grounds, finals. And, you know, you've got, we've mentioned it before, but, you know, Dempsey, O'Sullivan, Blitzars, but he's running nowhere at the moment. Well, Grant Myers has won, but he's not in the side either. But so there is an element of fitness there, which is elite at the elite level in terms of endurance running, which can hold you in good stead. So there's things there to like about the Cats. I had a lot more cons than pros.
Yep.
But I'd like to hear from the Cat Attack podcast listeners as to what they thought was the pros and cons of. As we head into what will be by the time we read them out next year, next week,
well,
in 6 weeks remaining.
That's probably a good topic pre-game. You know how you're scrambling at 5 minutes to broadcast, tuning me and going, what am I putting on the KFC X?
Yes. I love to put things on the X.
I think you can put pros and cons up, Benny.
Pros and cons, I can.
Yep.
You're talking about playing the
Giants.
Giants.
Yes.
So if we can't beat the Giants, I know they beat Freo. Okay,
but Freo were due for a letdown.
Yes, forever due for that then. So the players that they cannot consider this week,
yep,
the GWS, Geelong can consider everybody except Harley Barker, who's never played,
yep,
and some other bloke I never heard of.
Toby Conway.
Well, yeah, I've never heard of him either, Loch Ness.
Yeah, so Jacob Molly was on that.
Back.
He'll probably – Geelong, well, they won't because Geelong will have to send probably 2 travelling emergencies to Sydney. I think last week they had 17 AFL listed players play VFL.
Mm.
VFL are going to win the flag.
Well, that's good. That's what James Warple's come for. We need to turn the spotlight on the recruiting department or the list management. If you're targeting a bloke for a 4-year deal and he's a 2s player, you've got that wrong.
Yeah.
What role did you think he was going to play? And you've cocked it up.
Mm.
So just going into this week, Geelong have a full list to choose from.
Yeah. So other than Stengel, Barker, Conway, and Mollier.
They can't consider Whitfield,
yep.
Riccardi, Jaden Laverty's a test, Josh Kelly is out, Darcy Jones is out, Jesse Hogan is out, Max Grzewski is out, Tom Green is out, Brent Daniels is out, Jack Buckley is out, Lee Kalir is out.
Yeah, well.
They've got probably 8 of their best 23 not in the team.
Remember Lee Kalir taking mark after mark in the game a couple of years ago?
Yeah. So they are injury depleted. They had a good win last week. Have they been an anomaly in terms of being able to produce it week to week? Got that in twice, Kingy. Anomaly.
Yeah, they're unpredictable.
They are.
And that's what makes them dangerous. Because there is still enough talent there.
They've got a lot of younger players in that side now, though. That's a lot. If you were reeling off 7 Geelong players who are in their best 23.
But Fremantle ran out with their best 23 last week and got rolled.
Yeah, they'd also won about 1,000 in a row.
Yeah.
Where was their motivation levels? Yeah. Probably.
Did you hear during the week, so in the waffle, you're only allowed to roll with 14. So they're aligned with Peel Thunder. Whereas the Eagles run. Yeah. Mm. So the Eagles run. Corbin Middlemass spoke about this on, and he has a good handle because he's from over at WA. They're only allowed to have 14 AFL listed players in the Peel team. So there were four blokes who had to run around in the Waffle Reserves.
Right.
Where's your footy at?
Who were they?
Oh, I don't know who the four were.
Have we heard of them?
Probably not.
Brian Myers would be one.
So, yeah, they had four blokes running around in basically something that's the equivalent of the GFL's seniors.
Can you recall, you were talking about Chris Scott's press conference, can you recall what his word salad was on Brian Myers?
It's a medium-term plan for him. I think they're trying to see, I think they've got doubts whether he can...
What, do you have 27 in the twos?
Yeah.
After 30 the week before?
Week four, yeah. There must be something there.
I watched a bit of the twos, King. We struggled. I went around to have a fizzy drink
and put
people across the road.
And put it on.
Who were in their 80s.
Yeah.
No, and then the next thing you know, they were getting the computer out.
To watch.
And it was up on the... So as I was fizzing with them...
Watching the VFL?
Yeah. And
are they rabid Cat fans, are
absolutely,
they? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if you're on a Friday night, plugging your HDMI into your laptop or streaming it to your TV, you are hardcore.
Yes, they are hardcore, but I was able to, and I hadn't really watched a lot of the VFL, so I watched pretty much all of it. I watched the first, I probably watched two and a half quarters, and do you know within 3 minutes of watching, do you know what I saw?
Grime Myers have a lot of the footy.
Grime Myers laced someone out inside 450.
Yep.
He spotted up a bloke in between about three blokes and hit him, and I thought...
But that kick in the VFL has got less chance to be cut off than it is in the AFL.
Yeah, well, anyway, do you think he'll be back? Do you think he'll be back this week?
I think so.
Do you think he will?
I reckon he will.
Right. Do you think that Jack Martin will retain his spot?
Yes.
Do you think that Ollie Henry will retain his spot?
Yes. Ollie Henry's not the issue in the forward line.
No.
I think Ollie Wiltshire might be.
I see. That's where I differ. He's a bit like Mitch Edwards. I think he has growing pains with Wiltshire, but he offers something very different to what you've got. So I'm happy. I'd be happy for him to play. Okay. If he has a couple of weeks where he really struggles, fine. But I'd happy for him to get as much game time as he can because he's sort of growing on me. I think the way he plays with a bit of flair. You know, even I know he cocked up one kick when he had a clear running and he kicked it long straight to, I forget who it was, might have been Harris Andrews. And there was actually no Geelong play within about 20 metres that we kicked the ball. But then on the other side, he came out on the outer wing and he was running at full speed and he cut the ball back in, a long kick into the centre forward. And I forget who marked it. It was a Cat. I think he's got what you would classify as modern day traits.
Yeah. Yep.
He's quick. He's sort of sudden. He seems to have good ball handling. Apollo wants to get involved. What do you want to say, Apollo? Do you want to say anything? He wants some food. So I actually like him, and I'd be dropping Martin out. They won't, but I'd drop Martin out. I'd leave Ollie Henry in. I would remove Jack Henry.
Back to the back line.
Yeah, and I'd be really. Who do you think that? I don't know. There's a matchup for Toby Green. Toby Green. A matchup for Oisin Mullen in the middle.
Yeah.
Do you think?
No, maybe he gets squeezed. He's not going to Oliver. Oliver will be too
big. They're
not
dropping Oisin Mullen.
No.
They seem to think that the sun is sort of...
shining from an area.
Yeah. Oh. Out of it. And look, don't get me wrong. I like him to a degree. I can't have him right now at this point in his career as a... You go in, here are the keys to the midfield. You go alongside Smith and Holmes and whoever else is in there and get it 20 times and be a creative force. I mean, for somebody who's so quick, you never ever see it, do you? What does that tell you? You never see him very... We have a couple of times like up at Brisbane when he kicked that goal, when he was tagging, but you don't see him get the ball, take off, and you think, God, that bloke's quick. He doesn't read the ball game well enough to do that.
Questions, Ben?
I love
that. Jeremy Cameron's the other issue.
Well, he's injured, obviously. He's got the hip. Has he got the hip flexor?
No, it's the arm.
His arm stopping him from running because he was getting was trailing up behind Darcy Gardner.
Yeah, the arm.
And let's be honest, Darcy Gardner is...
Yeah, you're timing him with the sundial.
And he's a Barry Battler, isn't he? He's a good Barry Battler.
He's going to play 200 games.
Yeah, well, maybe.
And a plane of flag.
But he's...
Hello to all our friends at Queenscliff, by the way.
In terms of horse racing parlance... He's a benchmark 58.
Yeah, he's not.
And Jeremy Cameron's a two-time Group 1 winner.
Yeah.
Like, the only way that Darcy Gardner would be getting near Jeremy Cameron under handicap conditions. If it was a set weight and penalties race, he wouldn't get near him.
Can we whip through some questions?
Yes, quick.
Edmund 59, any thoughts on the Cats not having small forwards in the team, e.g. Close, Myers, affecting the pressure inside 50? Well, we have sort of touched on that.
Well, they don't like Close and they don't like Myers and they don't have anyone else.
Nufflet. Enough from Cario. Is the point of playing Cameron and Myers for the rest of the season if they're clearly not right and not offering anything to the side? Geelong makes more baffling decisions than AFL Barwon. Surely they can terminate Stengel's contract too. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, not playing Cameron for the rest of the season seems a little bit far-fetched unless he's... he does take the best defender. If he's getting to the point where he's... You're getting 3 or 4 weeks in a row where he's absolutely horrible, then you might have to look at it. But as long as he's putting his hand up to play, having him there is at least creates a bit of a fear amongst the opposition, if nothing else.
Are we 1940 France with our current defence? Well, the defence is actually, as you touched on, the defence is not.
I don't think it's the defence's problem. Yeah. It's up the field.
Dave Twist.
I'd love to know, King, we don't have it, but I'd love to know across the last sort of month or so what percentage of Geelong's rebound 50s, not the Cats rebound 50s, but the opposition rebound 50s, end up in a score.
Yeah. Dave Twist, who in the VFL actually makes our AFL side better? People are calling for Myers, Clark, Stevens and Buse. Clearly the coaches see differently. Plus, who among the younger players are closest to a call-up? There's talk about Polkinghorne and Burke, but I'd say next season for both. Coach was bullish about Polkinghorne.
He was. I did hear that. He was very bullish to start with, and then he said he's got a bit of work to do.
Yeah.
So he's having 50 cents each way. If they bring in Polkinghorne,
For Cameron?
No. Well, if they bring in Polkinghorne and they leave in Martin, Henry, Dangerfield, Neil, Cameron, and add Polkinghorne to that list... Yeah, I'm going to run to the ground, naked.
Damien Tedesco.
He's a marking option at this stage, Polkinghorne. He is not a pressure player. That's his, from the little bits I've seen, he struggles when the ball hits the ground.
Yep.
He's very good in the air, but he's giving you donuts at ground level, which is, we've already got too many of those blokes.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, why are we not selecting small forwards to crumb the ball? We just look like we're in no man's land when the ball went into the forward line. What is up with the defence leaking too many goals? We just need to find a way to get the 4 points on Saturday.
We've spoken about all that, and I've got reasons as to why that is. We don't have the small forwards, and the two we have, one's out of form, one they don't want to play, and both are playing in the VFL, and we ain't... I don't blame our defence. I just don't think it's... I think it's the issue is actually the forward line, which is creating the issues in defence.
Premiers, are we seeing the return of pre-2022 stubborn Chris Scott? Anyone with functioning eyesight can see that having 5 marking forwards isn't working.
Yes.
It was almost comical at one point watching all of them fly for the same mark and spoil each other. There was one at the Selwood stand of the ground in the last quarter where I think 4 of them came from all points of the compass.
Yeah. Yep. And Dangerfield was one of them.
Yep.
But that's their instinct. It's so hard to change the instinct of players, what you're good at, what you've been good at since a kid. And that instinct kicks in. You can coach blokes all you want. Oh, you know, you've got to stay down. It's too hard to organise that. Like, you can't, as the ball's coming in, you can't be yelling out to your teammate, oh, I'm going to fly, you stay down. Yeah. It's the instinct, the player who stays down.
Yeah.
Nick Watson, Charlie Cameron.
Tom Papley.
Isaac Rankin. That's their instinct to do that. Mm. Yeah, that's. Did I just say that?
Did you say Charlie Cameron?
Yeah. Who do you think I said?
Oh, I've got no idea.
Jeremy Cameron. So they're in. That's their. We've got the players who've got the instinct to fly, which is fine. We don't have anyone with the instinct to stay down and crumb the ball and read the play at ground level. We don't have that player. Well, it's close and it's Myers to a lesser Manor possibly. Manor is possibly that type of player, but. He's trying to play more up the ground now.
Trevor Young, given we are undeniably too tall and slow in defence, what are we doing about it? Not sure how well Busey is doing in the twos. Surely he would add some bite at ground level. Also, so should Brad Close be recalled to increase our forward pressure acts?
I don't think we're slow in defence by any stretch. I can't buy that. Stewart's still got his speed, and we saw that against Brisbane at times.
Humphreys has got
some toe. Connor O'Sullivan isn't slow for his size. He might look a bit on the slow side because his strides are about, he strides like winks.
Yeah, Collar's probably the only one that looks occasionally cumbersome.
A bit slow, yeah. I don't think Jack Henry's slow for his size.
He's an athlete.
And Zach Guthrie isn't slow. I don't think the defence is slow by any stretch. I think we're pinning that on because they're getting goals kicked on them, but it's not their fault. Not all their fault anyway.
Glenn, is it time to put some scrutiny on the coaches? They may turn out to be geniuses, but it's been a puzzling season with selections and non-selections.
Yeah, I agree.
Team balance, lack of intent at times, playing guys clearly not out of form.
Yep. So. I think the team balance is being out of whack through blokes. They're trying to make blokes versatile.
Adrian Mancini.
Critical mass of versatility, Kingy. Is that a stat?
Yeah. It's not a stat, but
we've reached it.
Hey, boys, Mark Neild made some very good points the other night regarding selection. The ball just flew out of our forward half. Surely it's time to change the mix as this is affecting our ability to defend.
Well, Neildy also said, and Neildy doesn't criticise the Cats very often because he has to sort of move in those circles and he doesn't want to upset anyone. So he toes the party line most of the, in fact, 99.99% of the time.
He didn't last week.
Well, after the game, he said, and I think I'm quoting, he said, it looks like Geelong are just picking names, not picking players for roles.
Mm.
So he didn't mention the names, but that was just about as harsh as you'll get Mark Neild on the Cats. And you'd have to agree with him. And the names, one of them is Jack Martin. They love Jack Martin.
Yep.
So I think Jack Martin's days are just about numbered, although he's triggered a clause to go. Around next year, hasn't he?
No, it's not there yet, I don't think.
Well,
it's close.
We'll get it out and look at it. Actually, it doesn't trigger it.
Dudas Maximus. Things I wonder. Only take as many as you can. I haven't vetted these. Do opposition players spoof Geelong players by calling for the ball, causing skip marks or errant blind handballs, tap-ons? Well, it's been happening since Noah was a boy. When I think Methuselah called Noah for a handball when they're on opposition teams, and Methuselah received and kicked a goal that won a big game for Jerusalem.
Well, I think they went to go for a score review for that game.
Did they? They went to the Ark.
They did go to the Ark.
Do you know who was working in the Ark?
Noah.
Yeah,
yes. Noah was in the Ark. There was a howler last night in the old bum sniffers, wasn't there?
Call them that.
What?
I didn't watch it. My interest in rugby league is diminished.
I did. And the bumps of anyway, there was a howling decision played. It was critical.
Right.
Really critical.
A
knock on. Have you ever had a knock on?
A timekeeper error is more widespread than we think. Some quarters seem inexplicably short/long. Is there an audit after each game? I don't know what they do there, but I don't know. Not sure.
It obviously just goes on the number of stoppages, the number of goals. Mm-hmm.
This is one of my favorites.
And the stoppages can be
different from
game to game.
Because I'd be interested to know, I haven't paid any attention, when they make a decision with a lasso, whether...
Does
the clock stop till the ball comes back into play? Because if it was a boundary throw-in, the clock stops.
I don't think it does, Kingy. I think
clock runs.
I wouldn't want to be in a court of law with that one, but...
Why do the Cats always yield with regards to shorts colour, whether home or away? I assume we prefer blue. The Cats don't yield. The Cats are told by the AFL what they're wearing, basically. They'll have some requests, but basically it's colour contrast for TV. That's why Geelong are in white, because that's a predominantly white unit.
So if the AFL says this week you got to wear a 2-2, they'll be wearing
it. You're wearing it.
What about a 3-3?
Yeah. Boom, boom.
Have you got one of them?
Why not have grand final entertainment where star forward attempts to hit either goalpost for something that seems impossible that happens all too frequently? Mid-season, yes. Has Buck's appointment been a net positive, neutral, or net negative?
Oh, we'd have absolutely no idea.
I'd
say it's been a positive.
Yeah. The players speak very highly of it, and even the coach does.
Yeah, I think it's been a positive, but how do you measure that? It's almost impossible, but on face value, he brings a fair bit to the table, seems a likeable, sort of personality around the place. He has great knowledge. And, I would have thought that it would be a positive, but we'd have to ask a player that, and they're not going to tell you anything other than it's been a positive.
How the 41 not really enjoying Groundhog Day of too many forwards flying for the same ball at the other end.
Oh, Howell, you're not wrong.
Other end, unmarked players are all opposition standing 20 metres out from
goal.
Yeah,
but unmarked players, that's because the ball's getting there so quickly. Yeah. Like, it's a team... If the ball's heading one end to the other in a million miles an hour, you're going to be caught out of position.
For me, the Cats look best when Manor, Myers and Close are hovering and applying pressure to keep ball inside 50.
Yeah, I don't... I, Yeah, you can't argue with that. Myers has probably never been a great pressure player. No. That's not his go. His go is getting the ball and hitting a bloke and creating something with a unique kick, with a, you know, an unpredictable kick, and then making the work. He makes good decisions. His skill execution is good. We don't have that now. Yep. We don't have anybody forward or centre who's making those decisions in skill and executing the skill, and that's part of the problem.
For me, the Cats look best when... I'd also get kneeling to the ruck more, leave SDK in defence, another loss, and I'm going for a frontal lobotomy. 6 weeks ago, we had top four in our hands, and we're
fritting it away.
Pooped the bed.
Yeah, we are. Well, I don't know if we've... Well, we've soiled the sheets. We've sent them away to the laundromat.
Right, okay.
And they're getting refreshed, Kingy. Okay. The sheets are being refreshed. Have you ever had to get your sheets refreshed? So, Look, I'm happy. I would be happy if Mitch Edwards is our ruckman, predominantly. Okay, is he going to dominate? No. Is he going to have his struggles? Possibly. And you're going to have to suck it and see game to game. If he's really struggling, you might have to do a few things. I agree. Blitzarves either plays in the ruck or defence.
Yep.
Because he's playing on the wing. That's an experiment. That's got to end because he's doing nothing.
Yep.
And then last week, he swings onto his left at half back. Like, I mean, the game was probably done. It was late in the game. But he swung onto his left like he was like Maurice Rioli.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like Shane Rioli, the lesser known Rioli, who never played. Just do the basics. You're not, you know, you're struggling. Do the basics. Anyway, so if Blitzar's wing or ruck, wing or ruck, to try and get him into the game, ruck would probably be preferable, or defence, sorry, keep him off the wing. Neil is the one that you could put into the ruck. A, he's physical, just for periods. I'm not saying play ruck for 20 minutes. Because we also have other marking options up forward. You're not like you've sort of suddenly caught short with no marking options up forward. You've got plenty of those. Dangerfield could go and play full forward for a little bit. You know, Cameron is struggling, but he is a marking option. Ollie Hamby's a marking option. There are options down there. So do we need... I just don't like Sam De Koning in the ruck, albeit he's playing okay in the ruck.
Jumping Jack, starting to feel like a season where we may get to postseason. Find there were a few more challenges behind the scenes than supporters and the media were aware of. Was there something more to the Jeremy Cameron situation? What was the impact of the Stengel situation on the playing group? Finally, are we buying the Toby Conway story? Last played VFL August last year. Last played AFL round 13, 2024, a two-year absence. There's injuries, bad luck and conservative management, but this is now approaching Bermuda Triangle and Area 51 territory.
Well, I don't know if we want to start offering up excuses that, you know, there's all sorts of things happening behind the scenes that are, I mean, and that may... You know, it may prove to be correct, but I'm pretty sure that Brisbane had a whole heap of issues last year, still won the flag in a canter.
Mm.
Didn't they lose Hipwood? They lost Payne.
Yep.
So they lost a key forward. They lost a key back.
Didn't have Coleman.
Didn't have Coleman. There was others missing out of that
team. Stasevic missed for a while.
They had every team is going to have things. No one, it's not going to go perfectly. Geelong... If I'm going on face value, Geelong have no injured players who you'd be selecting in the senior side.
Correct.
Not a one.
No.
So
Stengel's here. Well,
he's injured. Stengel's. Yeah. Let's remove Stengel. Yep. But we don't have an injury list, either to Freo. Every side is battling something or some things. Now, you've got to find good sides will find a way around it. Brisbane did last year. Are the Cats good enough? Perhaps not.
Mm. Lads, Sport Cat fans here. This is Daz Broncos. Losing 4 out of 5 is droll. Rain Man, when did we last lose 4 out of 5? The Cats actually lost 4 in a row in 2024, lost 6 out of 7 mid-season, and still finished 15-8.
Did they get thumped by Carlton?
I'll tell you what the...
Yeah, no, didn't they get absolutely pizzled by Carlton, having been pizzled the week before?
No, Carlton was a win. Oh. No, then lost to Carlton by 63. They played Carlton twice in about 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Hadn't they lost before, the week before, Carl? Yeah,
lost to Sydney up at the SCG after they...
By a million points?
Lost to Sydney by 30, lost to Carlton by 63.
That was when they led by 5 goals, didn't they?
They did kick the first 5 of the game.
Yeah, and then lost by 5. Yeah.
And then Lawson Humphreys came into the team in round 17, and the Cats only lost 3 more games for the rest of the year. No, two more for the rest of the home and away, and then lost, obviously, the prelim. So that's that. Looking at Blitz and Dangerfield going on, I get... Dangerfield wants 400, and if he can put up a performance like that last week, one in every three or four for the rest of the season, and next year you'd probably take it. I'm comfortable with Dangerfield playing on. I think he needs to give up the captaincy, though, and just play next year.
Oh, I don't think that makes any difference. I mean, if he's captain...
But he's not going to play. I don't think you're playing him. He's not... I think he's been more durable this year than I
expected him to. Maybe they're going to play more now because they've got to win.
Yeah.
Look, he was really good last week. I don't think it's... Yeah, I don't know. There'd be a lot of things to take into account when you make that decision.
He's playing on. It'll be his call, and I think he wants to play on.
Yeah, well, he's going to play on there. Yeah. So, but I don't know. And I'm
the only thing that would change Patrick Dangerfield playing on?
Bad injury.
Or winning the premiership.
Yeah.
Going out as a premiership captain.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope that happens. That'd be a good way to go out.
Can we keep Blitz rolling into 2027 like this? Pretty hard to keep Blitz rolling with less than 10 touches. Don't get me wrong. He's earned the right to have some bad efforts, but we can't carry Dangerfield, Blitzarves, Myers, Jezza, and Jack Martin all doing Copperfield-type disappearing acts. Of those five, whom, if any, do you retire in 2027?
Well,
not Myers.
And I agree.
I think he means somebody else other than Myers. I don't know who he means.
I'm all for giving blokes a little bit of time, and particularly somebody like Mark Blitzarves, who's got, you know, a lot of credits in the bank.
Yeah.
But he's had 7 weeks now of being well below par.
Yeah, well, since he basically came back from the knee injury.
Yeah, it's been 7 weeks where he's offered very, very little, playing a role where you need him to offer something. Now, they'll say he's played all over the place, which possibly he has, but it seems to me, and King, you've been there, he seems to be playing quite a bit off a wing.
Yep.
You know, a majority of the role is off the wing. Now, would you right now prefer to have Grian Myers doing that or Mark Blitzarves?
Grian Myers.
Yeah. He's not even in the team.
Well done,
Mark Blitzer's in the team, but he's doing nothing.
Well done to Dave Collins on the studio dedication. K-Rock recognising the work and effort over such a long time.
Yes.
He was actually recognised at Davey and Pothole got a shout-out at the Cats Hall of Fame on Saturday night.
Oh,
too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was that? Who gave him the shout-out?
Jared Waitley did on, yeah. So, and we asked for them to be recognised. We bought a table. A couple of old K-Rockers were there. Snake Pearson and Pete LeGrand.
Was he?
Snake
How
Pearson
was Snake?
Pete LeGrand. Snake was good. Came in from Ocean Grove and brought his pencils in.
Yeah,
and
great man, Snake.
He is. And Pete LeGrand, who...
And Cove was there?
Cove was there.
Was he on your table?
Yeah, yeah. Sat with Cove.
Right. Did you refresh?
We did.
And what happened after that?
Did
anything else happen? Their former skipper was there, the 14.
14 was there. Good chat with the 14. Had a chat with the 29/4.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, was it the 29? Is he playing for Motowari?
He is.
Right.
He's got a broken finger at the moment.
From?
Game he played a couple of weeks ago.
Got it caught in the cash counter he bought.
No, promoting. He was playing in a game promoting a rival beer to the Carroll Football Geelong Lager.
Right.
Fox Dog 50, gents, I'm 90% sure you'll discuss what I'm about to say. Benny, I agree with 99% of your views. Kingy, I'd like you to answer these questions first, then Benny can give his thoughts. I'm starting to get frustrated with us playing players out of position and continuing to pick players who are clearly out of form. Can't disagree with that, Fox Dog, and we've discussed. Stop playing Jack Henry as a forward, send him back to defence where he belongs and send one of our tall defenders back to the VFL. If Jack Henry's going back, I think Jake Collajasny is the one that's in trouble if they're squeezing somebody out of the defence.
And I'm Collar's number one fan, but I agree with that.
Is Blitz carrying a knee injury? We hardly use him as the backup ruck anymore. Instead, we're using SDK. Personally, I'm not a fan of that, but I've accepted that Cirelli's playing. I'd like to send him back to the VFL or put him on ice for a few weeks. I'm not aware of any issue with the knee, but it's not to say that there's not.
There's no tape. Well, don't play him. Yeah. If the results of what you're getting, if he does have an injury, then don't play him. Get him right or wait, because he's not giving you anything. He's the spare dick role at the moment. He's playing it beautifully.
Atkins just isn't having the same impact as he had last year. The tackle pressure isn't there, and it's obvious he's carrying an injury. We have ready-made replacements in Stevens or Warple who could fill that role. Would Warple be an upgrade on Atkins?
Well, I wouldn't rule it out. Possibly. I wouldn't say definitively yes, but I think it's a possibility. If Tommy's still getting, you know, hampered by that plantar fascia, then, I mean, he's such a ferocious competitor, Tommy Atkins, but, I mean, Warple is in his prime. What is he, 26, 27?
Warple?
Yeah.
Played in the Falcons flag as an 18-year-old in the... carry the one... 27.
So he's right in his prime
yep.
as a midfielder. you know, 26 to 30 is probably in your prime.
Well,
so,
following on from that, if Warple continues to play in the twos, could he ask for a trade at season's end?
Well, he'd be scratching his head, and I mean,
but we just don't know what that issue he had. So he ended up in hospital with that finger.
It can't be that bad. He's played, what, the last 8 weeks of the twos.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, signing him to a four-year contract.
It's where you want to be pointing the finger is perhaps the recruiting of him. What role did they see for him? Because they got him in and they quickly just found out that he couldn't perform that role, if that's the case. So he's in the twos. And they're, I mean, he'd have to be on, what would he be on? Would he be on 600,000? 2.4 million for...
Yeah, something like that.
For $2.5 million investment?
Yep.
And he's not in your senior side?
Yep.
Wow.
Just very quickly through some more. We are running out of time. Lord of Sleepy Hollow, thinking back to that balmy Saturday arvo against the Swans, the Cats were purring, everything looked like it was clicking. We walked away with 4 points. Hard to rationalise how we find ourselves losing four of the next five. Quick fire, what are the biggest three issues facing the Cats right now we need to fix? Well, Ben's gone through that with the cons.
I've gone through some of them, but I'm happy to hear any others.
Follow-up question from a few weeks ago about players who never reached their potential due to injury. What about Nekai Cocker too?
Jason Snell.
Yeah. Those early flashes of
Dan
pace,
Menzel.
Power and explosiveness were seriously exciting. If his body held up, what do you reckon his ceiling could have been? He could have been a very good player.
Yeah, he could have been.
Yeah, just absolutely. Didn't work for him. The Ranger, gentlemen, well done to K-Rock for recognising Dave Collins, and I noticed there was a shout-out to K-Rock and Dave at the Hall of Fame event. Big congrats to Dave too. As a side note, for Thursday night games, K-Rock commentary gets played over our clubhouse speakers up here in Brisbane during and after training. I got some interesting comments during the Brisbane game Thursday night. Didn't take long for their supporters to turn to nuffies, in Scotty's words. Thought I would add another question on Jezza, but I want to take my usual methodical question. No, his form's not good, and he's admitted it himself, but he did on a podcast this week.
Basically,
it was pathetic.
I saw it referenced on something. So he said he was pathetic, was he?
Yeah.
Did he mention anything about his injury?
I'm not sure. I haven't listened to the podcast. His arm, from what I've seen, I don't think he's favouring it, or is there a lack of confidence in it, or the forward 50 entries aren't hitting Jezza to his advantage, a common problem we have, or he isn't getting to the best position and he's being outplayed by opposition defenders.
I think it's a combination of all that.
Some from A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ranga. Catters 28, to me, this saga with Jezza's arm is all too reminiscent of the saga with Hawkins back in 2013. That was his back, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Remember we were told all year he was fine to play until that final against Freo, then suddenly he wasn't. Surely the club should learn from their mistakes there. Well, it's 13 years ago.
He was ironing his shirts with a wok, wasn't he?
He was.
Tom Hawkins?
He was.
Have you ever done that?
No. I think that's a lot, Ben.
Kingy, we've been through, this has been a sort of a real...
Written, spoken and authorised.
Oh, it's been a sort of a real heavy-duty Cat Attack podcast, hasn't it? We'll need to have a sort of a Panadol and a lie down.
See you Saturday.
Well, a big one on Saturday.
You got to win.
Massive.
Reg is back,
but the Cats have somehow got to find a way to win, and it'd really be interesting to see because their backs to the wall isn't the correct when you're going as well as they have been, but it's a crucial game in the context of their season to win. This is their last trip. Kingy's been mauled by the dog, by Apollo, and now you suddenly turn into the dog whisperer. So it's a huge game for the Cats. They've got to get things right. I don't see anything changing. A lot of that stuff we spoke about, I don't see a whole lot of it changing. But the Cats, as I said, had 17 more inside 50s last week and somehow lost after coughing up the first eight snags. They'd want to start well on the road.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.